Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. No credit application refused, guaranteed. And where else can you find over 750 premium previously owned vehicles at one stop? Nowhere. It's AutoCityEdmonton.com. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, the Oilers last night against a team that Milan Lucic said a man's game, came out with a pretty solid effort.
Yeah, no, they really did. It was pretty good, and they were perfect. And Cam Talbot had to once again make some good stops early to keep them in it, not get them behind. But that's what your goalie's supposed to do. And then rest of the guys followed suit, and it was a really good, solid win. That is not a game that the Oilers in the last few years win very often. It's just not. They could maybe put up a fight or go down kicking a little bit, but not to actually be able to figure out how to put up whatever wall they need to put up, dig deep enough to find whatever they need to find it to win a game like that. And so it was good, man. Lucic led the way in the late going. Talbot was great all the way through. Petrangelo and Bouwmeester were really, really good and really gave McDavid a tough go through a lot of that game. But Connor was patient and waited for his opportunity. And the Oilers just played a patient, smart, big man's game, and they won. And it was just not the type of game they usually win. And that had to be refreshing for Oilers fans.
You would hope so. It was really, you know, the win's obviously great, but the fashion that they won, especially when Lucic scored early in the third, and Todd McLellan said one of the issues with his team was they don't really know how to play with the lead yet. Yes, they gave up the chance to nail Yakupov, but other than that, at 5-on-5 in the third period, they were really solid.
Yeah, they were. And, I mean, the Blues had to kind of ramp it up a little bit to try and find a goal, and so they got a little loose on the back end. But it was interesting watching Connor last night because the matchup that he had, I mean, that's as tough a D matchup as he's going to have most nights. Bouwmeester and Petrangelo were out there a ton against him. And, you know, it was interesting because one-on-one, just strictly from a skating standpoint, both of those defensemen are two of the only defensemen around that have the ability to handle Connor. They're big enough, they're strong enough, but they're fast enough and mobile enough that Connor can skate at them head-on, full speed, and those guys can make plays against him. And so Connor kind of had to be a little bit patient, you know. He kind of had to wait, and he drew a couple penalties with his speed, that's what he does. But what he figured out was to start heading east-west a little bit, and not necessarily to challenge those guys just straight on one-on-one, but to get moving a little bit east-west. And he made that spectacular play where he rushed up ice, and he cut across the blue line hard from right to left. And it was one of the few mistakes that Bouwmeester and Petrangelo had made to that point in the game. Connor was so fast and shifted so quickly, they both moved over to him. And in that split second, Connor realized that the momentum, both guys were shifting towards him, and he just laced it right back through them to Lucic. It was just a really smart, heady play, a change in tactic from McDavid, and he was very patient against one of the best D-pairings on the planet. And he was patient against them and figured out a way to make it work.
What do you think of Darnell Nurse's play the last few games?
I think he's been okay. You talked about it in the offseason and about Darnell needing to take a step. In order to do so, he's going to need to improve his puck handling. And I think we see that at times. I think at times he isn't quite as smooth with the puck as he needs to be to make plays as quickly as he needs to make them. He's had rotating partners, and that's not ideal. He's had different guys next to him pretty much every game. That's not ideal. But I think he's fine. He's in their third pairing, and it's where he belongs. It's where he can learn. It's where they can protect him a little bit. And I think he's been okay. No big complaints. He hasn't been rushing the puck blindly up ice and getting himself into trouble. He's been focusing on playing good defense. And when he has chosen to go, it's been a pretty good decision for the most part. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. How do you feel?
I think his last two games have been his best two games of the season. And he's looked more comfortable. I thought last night, his overall puck handling ability is significantly better in small places on the ice is what, you know, in tight spaces. It's a work in progress, no doubt. The other thing is he doesn't look like he's trying to do too much like he was at times last season.
Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to about just picking his spots when to get up ice. I mean, they've got forwards that can skate and move that puck up ice. He doesn't need to unless the opportunity really presents itself. And there were times before where Darnell would just kind of force it. He would force his way up ice and he'd go barreling through the neutral zone and hit that blue line just looking to make something happen. Then he'd chip it by and go racing in and then, you know, rim it around the boards to nobody and then be trying to get back in time to actually get something done in his own end. So, yeah, he at times he would get impatient. And I think that was just part of wanting so desperately to be in the NHL and so desperately to stay in the NHL, kind of learning that three or four shifts where not much happens is a nice little run for a defenseman and that's okay. And I just think he had a tough time because in junior, he never had three or four shifts where nothing happened. But he had a little bit of a tough time kind of settling into that. And now you can tell, a few shifts where you don't really even notice him, that's a good thing. And I think he's become okay with that. But I do think as he gets more comfortable, we will see him inject a little bit of that offense back into his game. I just like the fact that he's taking care of things in his own end first.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. What do you make of the Nugent Hopkins Pouliot Cassian line?
We're not good enough. Ryan hasn't been good enough. And that's I didn't think that he was very good last night. He had a good night in the faceoff circle finally, which he's going to have to do. Ryan's just really struggling to find it offensively, and he's. It's not that he doesn't work hard. I'm not sure, for some reason, it's just the efficiency just isn't there. And then even in his own end a little bit last night, I didn't think he was great. He was a little lackadaisical now and then. So yeah, they're 4-1 with basically second line that hasn't done a whole lot. Pouliot's had some flashes here and there, but been in and out of trouble too. So for Ryan, I'm not sure. I don't know what the remedy is. I mean, he's trying. He's trying to rush the puck. He's trying to make things happen, but it's just not happening for him. And so at least he's taking care of some of the finer points with the faceoffs last game being better. But it hasn't been good enough. And for this team to compete night in, night out against the best teams, they're not going to be able to count on Tyler Pitlick and that fourth line to be chipping in at the pace they're chipping in at right now. And that's where the second line is going to have to step in and start putting up some offense. So they're getting by without him right now, but they're going to need them over the long haul. And Ryan is the biggest part of that.
Yeah. At some point that line's going to get scoring, but right now when you've got the best goal per 60 player in the NHL and Tyler Pitlick, you can get by for another game or two.
Well, I mean, it's great for Tyler. This has been a long time coming for him, and you can tell. I mean, we talk to him after every game, and you can tell how happy he is that things are going the way they're going. It's getting to the point where it's not just kind of flash in the pan. He's been consistent since the start of training camp. And here we are, 5 games into the regular season, and we haven't talked about much of a dip in his play. And that's consistency. So even when those other guys are healthy, I don't know who's bumping Tyler Pitlick out of the lineup. I mean, I'm leaving him in there ahead of Cassian right now. I'm leaving him in there ahead of Slapyshev right now. I'm leaving him in there ahead of Lander right now. He probably got him as the seventh or eighth forward right now the way he's been playing. And very, very few minutes. But I think it's important that they keep him, and we talked about this the other day. I don't think they should just all of a sudden throw him onto the second line or just put him in a situation where he's supposed to play 17 minutes a night, because I think you got to ease him into that. He even last night, like even in that game last night, Cassian came out, had a terrible shift. And so I was thinking to myself, okay, time for Pitlick to go there. Next shift, Pitlick came out in that spot with Nugent Hopkins and Pouliot and played a shift there and had a terrible turnover, and then that was the end of that. Todd had him back on the fourth line and kept him there the rest of the night. So you want to keep putting Tyler in a spot where he can overachieve, because I think that's what's going to allow him to keep this going a little bit. And they can. I mean, they can comfortably have him on their fourth line.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt they can, and I think he's somebody that could move up, and I expect you will see Pitlick get more ice time. Todd talked about this. The bottom six guys, you got to kill penalties, and they've worked on him. I've been watching it in practice, and they feel once he's comfortable, I think, with the terminology and everything else. And I think the easy one is if they pull Puljujärvi back in and they take either Slepyshev or, and if it's Lander out, then Pitlick's going to be on the penalty kill.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, they've been working on it in practice with him. He has the foot speed to do it. He'd be, I think he'd be a decent penalty killer because he can, he's got nice foot speed. He's got, he's fast, so he can get where he needs to go. He's willing to block shots. He needs to work on his angles a little bit. Like a lot of times coming off the wall, if the puck gets by him and the defenseman walks out from the wall, he has a tendency to skate at the defenseman instead of skating into the shooting lane. And it's just so different in today's game. Guys don't skate to the puck anymore. They skate to the shooting lane. And that's part of what Todd was talking about. Some of the angles he takes to the shooting lanes and stuff. They're working on him with those sorts of things. But if he could add penalty killing to his arsenal, then it just, yeah, it'll give him that extra 2.5-3 minutes a night where he just gets more confidence and more opportunity. So, yeah, he's rounding into a nice utility player for them, and I'd be curious to see how he's in the faceoff circle too.
The big positive for the Oilers last night was just how they played, and Todd McClellan talked about the biggest challenge for this group will be dealing with success. So you look at this Winnipeg team who's 2-2, and both their wins came from 4-1 deficits. They were able to overcome them. We had Rick Ralph on the show. The Jets aren't playing great. They've got questions in goal. Like, the Jets are a very beatable team as well right now.
Well, and it's a stage, right? They're stepping onto a stage. And so here they are stepping onto a stage with a 4-1 record. And people are, much like with the Canucks, sort of maybe sneering a little bit at the record and thinking that's not sustainable for the group they have. And here they are stepping onto the stage against the Winnipeg Jets with this good record. So how do they handle their success? How do they handle this stage? And they should be able to, based on some of what they've done this year, they should be able to win this game. They should be able to beat this team. And how will they handle back-to-back wins and a 4-1 record and a stage? And that'll, we'll learn something about where this team is at by how they come out and play play in this game, in this outdoor game with the hockey world watching, and we'll see just how real they are. And if they are, if they've learned from the mistake, they've already made the mistake once this year of kind of falling in love with themselves or reading their own press a little too much and getting a little high on their horse after wins against Calgary, and they learned that lesson. So did they learn it? Because it's another opportunity. Here they are, back-to-back wins, kind of the talk of the NHL. People are looking at them going, huh, what will they do on this stage? And we'll learn something about them.
Eskimos, will they win in BC?
Yeah, you know what? They got a tiny little role going, so why not? And, you know, it's interesting whether which way they end up going in the playoffs. And I think you just want to finish, you want to close your season out as positive as you can, winning games and feeling good about yourself and with everything functioning the way it's supposed to. So regardless of which direction is better for them to go in, they're having a nice little clip here, and I think they'll keep it going.
Char, have a good weekend. Enjoy the Heritage Classic. I know you'll be watching both with serious interest.
Oh, yeah, lots of good stuff to watch this weekend. It'll be great. Look forward to doing all the shows Monday.
Ryan Hrshaug from TSN.